New Perek, new Mishnah. This is Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, and it is the seventh Perek. What do you do when you find money in the Beis HaMikdash or otherwise, and it's not in one of the designated spots, right? We've been talking about the different horns, and each one being marked for this or for that. And let's say you find money in between. So Mal Shinimsu Bein Hashkalim Nedava, Karav L'Shkalim Yiplu L'Shkalim. If it's closer to the one with the Shkalim, so it's clearly, we're going to assume it's for the Shkalim. L'Nedava Yiplu L'Nedava. And similarly, if it's closer to the Nedava ones, so it should go to Nedava. Mechza L'Mechza, however, if it's exactly the same, it's exactly the same distance between them, so then Yiplu L'Nedava, it should go to the Nedava, which itself is more machmir than the Shkalim. Gemara is going to talk about a little bit, but I assumed one, because one is for general finances and one is for actual karbanos. Either way, Ben Eitzim Lalavona, Karv Leitzim Yiplu Leitzim Lalavona, Yiplu Nedava Lalavona, Matzah Lamatzah Yiplu Lalavona. Right? Same thing with the wood versus the Lavona, the frankincense. So if it's half and half, you give it to the frankincense. Ben kinin legoz le'ola, if it's between pairs of bird offerings, kinim, or the doves for burnt offerings, which were next to each other. Karav legoz le'ola, karav le'kinin, yipul kinin. Karav legoz le'ola, yipul legoz le'ola, mechza mechza, yipul legoz le'ola. The goz le'ola more machmer. Ben chule namaser sheni, in a separate, completely separate sense, if you, a person has just two containers generally, and I assume the Gemara is going to say you could keep going, you know, with all the different circumstances beyond this also. Bein chulam asasheni karav l'chulim yipul l'chulam asasheni yipul asasheni mechzal mechzal yipul asasheni, as you would expect, asasheni is more machmer than nothing. And therefore, you have to assume if it's half and half, that if they're equidistant, you'd have to give those coins to Master Shane. Zeha klal. Here's the rule. Unclear why we couldn't get this rule beforehand, but maybe in order to teach us some of the relative stringencies of the others. Zeha klal hochen achra rov hakarov lahakel metzen lametz lahachmir. That will go after whichever one is closer, meaning potentially in a lenient in a lenient fashion, whereas if it's equidistant, we're always going to be machmer. So the Gemara is now going to say, "Lo hutzur chad lo bein shkalim liklinim." Do we not have to ask the question about whether the coins should go to shkalim or kinim when they're next to each other? So Rabbi Avun Bishimri Pinchas Kamin Buchliar Hayosin, that these things were arranged like a circle, meaning it wasn't a linear line, but rather in a circle, so that really any coins could be in between any, I guess, to potentially could be within any horn of another horn. So therefore, this is a question, right? Mishnah should have addressed the case where the money was found between the Lashons and the Mishnah. Yeah, it just seems like it seems like this is a question with no answer. By the way, I asked somebody about the wood yesterday. They had no idea either. It seems like the simplest question in the world. And no one knew it, had to understand it. Not no one, but that person. Either way, seems like a question there. I'm not really sure if we answered it. The Koran doesn't seem to think that there's an explanation here. But it could be based on where the horns were in the circle that would negate the possibility of Shkalim and Kinim being close enough or in direct adjacency to make it an issue. Okay. Mechzel lemechzel yipul and devil, we said before. Lo turchel to lemechzel lemechzel yipul lishkalim. That's in parentheses because it doesn't make any sense. Is debay meimar shema yipul yishere alishka. The Gemara says, some say that it might be the case. Why is it that you would go mechzel mechzel to the nedava as opposed to the shkalim? Because maybe it's going to go to the remainder, meaning that it's going to become leftovers, and therefore it would be used for like the building as opposed to the karbanos, like I sort of implied before, that the reason we give it to the nedava is because we know it'll be used as opposed to being used for the walls or upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Some say that the money which is found entirely equidistant from two different things is considered to be owned by someone who died. Right? Not necessarily literally, but that's how we treat it. So Amar Rebbe Yesa, Adana Taman Shamas Kal Rebbe Yehuda Shal Lishmuel, Hifri Shiklo Vames. What do you do? It should go to a nedava, and therefore that's why it goes to the nedava, not because of the ultimate use of the money, but rather because of the status of the money as it being belonging to someone who's dead, and therefore it goes to the nedava. Generally, according to Rabbi Huda, that's the rule. This wouldn't be the rule for other halachas, as we've seen before. As we'll see in a second also. Asir Saifa Shalom Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yolichim Liam HaMelech. If it's an Asir Saifa that the Kohen Gadol gives, which is like a pancake that he makes, so then if he died beforehand and therefore it wasn't actually brought, it didn't need to be brought, so then you take that money and you throw it to the Yam HaMelech. You throw it out. Rabbi Lazar Amar Yipul Nedeva, like Rabbi Huda says, Akasha. I think we've talked about this before, that is a chatas considered like an ola to the extent that the money which was used has to be given to somebody. Meaning if we use it and we say that it is belonging to someone who died, so then should it not require a person behind that? I think that's what it means. The long note here. Yeah, I think that's what it's referring to. Yeah, my other Gemara had a more simple way of understanding it, but Chizkiya b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Tanai based in Hu al Mosaros Sheikrivu Olos, that there's a condition generally that anything extra is going to be brought as an Ola and not as a Chatas, which would require Balim. Even if the one who consecrated the money did not state such a condition explicitly, he is regarded to having done so, as it is presumed that the money was consecrated in accordance with the court's stipulation. So Gemara says, Haisha Hazos B'mahi Mitzkaperas. So this woman who has to bring these birds, so then how is she going to be atoned for? Right, if she's a Zava and she has to bring this carbon, but that money is going to be given as if it was an Ola and not as a personal carbon, so then how is she ever going to get Kapara? So Amar Abitzak, they would do an interesting thing. Tanai based in who? Hamisapik hasakinin, hu misapik esapsulos. Whoever supplies the temple with the pairs of birds, he also supplies extra birds to replace those birds that are disqualified. Meaning if one of the birds is disqualified or missing, he provides another bird in its place. And so in any event, the woman will have brought both a burnt offering and a sin offering. I'm not sure if this is her own birds or somebody else's birds that we're going to be using on her behalf. But either way, there are extra birds that can be used and are going to be used, and that can go towards hers, even if her money gets lost or is not used specifically for her. Okay? Lo tzorcha d'lo ben kataras l'etzim, l'lvon l'zav l'kapores. So shouldn't the Mishnah also discuss other issues where we had labeled other horns, but this Mishnah doesn't mention the other horns? right? Like the Ketoreh said, like the Zav and the Kaporas. So Tanisa Utanisa Basofa Zakla Hokanachar Kar Mesl Mesl Achmer. So Gemara says, yeah, just follow the rule, which is weird, as we said before, like the Mishnah gives some of them explicitly and then some of them we just say do the more machmer one. So these are the other ones, you do the more machmer one. You don't need an explicit rule. Okay? I'm not really sure. This could just be a way Yerushalmi does things. I don't know. I feel like the Bavli wouldn't let the Gemara get away with that. The Babylonians would have been stricter with that logic, but so it goes. Okay. Halacha beis. Mal shenimtsu lifnei socher behema la'olam maaser. If you have money which is found in the storefronts, right, where the people would sell animals, you can assume that this is in Yerushalayim. You can assume that that money is some kind of money which represented Maser Shedi. Right, we know that people, in order to redeem their Maser Shedi, you can put it on coins, then come to the Beis HaMikdash and you can buy things with that money, including animals. So if you find money in front of the animal store, what do you call an animal store? It's not really a Beis HaShechita. Is there a word for that? I don't know. There's got to be a word for that, but we just don't have them anymore. So you find it in front of the animal market. So therefore, we can assume it's Maaser Sheni. People are using their Maaser Sheni money to buy the animals, and that's why it's there. So you have to treat it like Maaser Sheni money. Uba Harabayis Kulin, and if you find it on the Harabayis itself, meaning not in your Yerushalayim, where they're selling the animals, but in the Beis HaMikdash itself, you can assume that it's not sacred money. Why? Presumably because it's already the money is already taken care of. People don't go to the Harabayis to find to buy things. They do that. They do that outside. Here it says, if, however, the money was found on the Temple Mount, it is presumed to be non-sacred money, even on a festival. When one went into the Temple Mount, he had presumably already purchased whatever he had needed for his temple service. There's also halacha, you're not allowed to enter Har Habayis with your wallet. So any money there, it's not supposed to be there anyway. And any other time in any other place in Yerushalayim, you consider the money to be completely chulin. Try to find its owner, or give it to tzedakah, or claim it for yourself. Uveshas haregel hakol maaser. But if it's a time of yontif, and it's Yerushalayim, so people are coming to Yerushalayim from all over, it's a busy place. People can get their money lost in the shuffle. So then you have to assume that it's maaser. Basar shenimtsa ba'azara, if you find meat inside of the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple courtyard, and you don't know if it's a carbon or not, from a carbon, so if it's avarim, if it's limbs, so assume that it's olos. Chatichos, chataos, assume that if it's cut up into pieces that you could eat, so then you assume that it's from a carbon chatas. Uvir shalayim, zivche shlamim. And if you find it, I guess, either of those inside your shalayim, so then you assume it's meat that was able to be eaten from carbon shlum. Zev zeh tubar tzuras of yetzel beis asherif. Regardless of where you find it and what you categorize it as, it all has to be burned anyway. So the commentaries are like, wait a second. If it all has to be burned, so what do I care what it's called? Right? If you find it like this, it's an ol. If you find it like this, it's a chatz. If you find it like this, it's a shlumin. Either way, all three situations, you have to go burn it. So then what do I care what it's called? You have to burn it. So the Gemara says, if somebody makes this like very rare type of neder, where they're going to make it as if they say, whatever is a shlamim, I'm going to give that money is worth of a shlamim. So then it matters how you call something. It's got a very minchas chinuch-esque nafkamina there. But either way, nimsa b'gvulin, if you find meat outside of Yerushalayim, so then evarim nevelos v'chatilchus mutaros. If you find limbs, so then you have to assume that it's a carcass from a dead animal that wasn't shechted properly. And therefore, you do not have the ability to take it for yourself. A chatichas, however, if they're cut up into small pieces of meat, like you would find in grocery store, so then you can assume that it's not really usser in any way. Because you can assume it was shefted properly and put out properly. Uvishas haregel. I don't think that would apply anymore nowadays. But uvishas haregel shabasar meruba. And nowadays, where there's so much meat around during a yantif, af evarim mutarim. Even limbs would be mutter to eat, even if they're not cut up in normal way. I don't know what this means, that in the Beis HaMikdash maybe they would cut up the meat differently, or because there's just so much dead animal around that the overall majority of meat that would be laying around would be from already shechted, properly shechted meat. I don't know. Interesting concept. Where's Gil when you need him? The low tzorcha, the low bahara bayis kodesh. So the Gemara says, is it not the case that all of Har HaBayis is kodesh? Meaning most of the money in the temple mount is consecrated money. And even if it weren't, one ought to be stringent and regard any money found as such. Meaning if we're dealing with Har HaBayis, so why would it be the case that we're going to be lenient for finding it in the Har HaBayis as opposed to Yerushalayim? Meaning we should be more machmir. So Har HaBayis is kodesh. So Rebbe Ba, Rabbi Chia b'shem Rabbi Yochanan chazak shena koin motzi et min halishka mos achu mechalon al behema. A koin is assumed to have already taken care of the money, and if not, he wouldn't have taken it out. Right? If it's outside of the pushka, he wouldn't have just taken it out willy nilly, and therefore that's why we're more makel, because money which is found in Harabais is presumably from those Lishkos, it's from those containers or those chambers, and thereby we can assume the Kohanim are extra scrupulous. We've seen this before a number of different ways, especially for what's called a Shvus, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, and therefore we can assume the money is unconsecrated or desacralized, as the Quran likes to say. Basar Shenimtza, if the meat is found in the rest of the city of Yerushalayim, so we had said that it depends how it's cut up. Regardless of how it's cut, that it would be a shlamim. So Basar Shenimtza, Rabbi Lazar b'shem Rabbi Hoshaya, Hisia dat antan ibar tzura. If you lost your attention from them, meaning you don't know what happened to it for a little bit. I don't know exactly how long of a time this is. Usually in halachic terms for like brachos and things like that, we say it's about 72 minutes. But here it doesn't say. So for that, if you have sort of lost your attention, you don't know if this meat became tame, in which case you're not allowed to eat it anymore. So therefore, you see a dat and tone ibor tzura. You have to wait for it to basically decay. Ibor tzura literally means to change its appearance. But here what it means is to basically go rancid. So it's inedible anymore, and therefore you have to burn it. So I think you burn it. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, Masnisin Amar Kain, to Ubar Tirasov, Yeslo Yisasrefa. There's a Mishnah that says similarly that if the meat was found in Yerushalayim, you have to wait for it to decay, and then it should go to the Yisasrefa. This doesn't say anything about Hisiach Das, but presumably that's how Rabbi Hoshaya is going to explain it. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Vyaos. And it's good. La'achlo ein atayachol. You're not allowed to eat it. Shem niskalakol tziraso, because maybe it already decayed. This is referring not to the actual rancidness of the meat, but rather it's referring to the fact that maybe you're not allowed to eat it anymore if maybe the time where you're allowed to eat it passed, right? Because you found this meat. So lapum Cain, because of this, Sarach Meimar, Tubar Tirasov, Yetzel Vesasrefa. I believe this is different from what Hoshaya is saying. Hoshaya's halacha seemed to be someone who had meat the whole time. No, actually, according to the Quran, it's someone who found it. So I don't know what that means, What's the difference for Rav Hoshaya? He see a das ton ibur. Oh, I think he's just saying generally. Yeah, he's saying generally. If someone didn't pay attention to a piece of meat that's coming from a carbon, so you have to go burn it. So then he's applying that Right? He's not saying that this is the explanation of the Mishnah, but he's applying that to our Mishnah, which clearly, if you found meat, someone's not watching it. So you don't know when that meat was supposed to be eaten. So that's where Rabbi Yossi comes on and says, you can't go and eat it because maybe the time for eating it already ran out. Therefore, you have to let it become rancid and burn it. But you have to wait for a little bit because you don't know if the time has sort of already elapsed or not. Nimsa Bigvulin, if you find it outside of your Shalim, Sir Rabbi Crispa. Interesting name, Crispa. Beshem Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Evarim Nevelos, Lokan Alayim Mishum Nevela. If you find limbs, we assume that it's nevela, and therefore you get punished based on that. So Masnisa Amraken, Mishnah says similarly, Evari nevelos v'chatichos mutaros, as we said in our Mishnah, chatichos mutaros lo mamish. So the Gemara asks, when it says that it's okay, does that not mean that it's literally okay, and therefore it would not be a problem? I think this is just rhetorically asking the question that this is how we understand it, like, right? In a corresponding manner, when the Mishnah says that the meat found in the formula is presumably a carcass, that is regarding certainty such that one person is right. Meaning, the question at hand is really, can you punish based on this, right? It's a suffix. We don't know what this meat was. We assume that you should be careful like it's nevela. So the question really is, are you able to really be so certain that it's nevela that you'd be actually, you know, whip someone for it, you get malchus for it? So the Gemara says, yes, because the Mishnah was so clearly okay with you eating it, with certain a certainty about it, right? When it's cut up into pieces, we know it's okay to the extent that we'll allow you to eat it. So too, we know it's not okay to the extent that we'll punish you for eating it too. I don't know necessarily if this is considered a malchus d'oraisa or a malchus d'rabbanan, but there are differences there. I don't know which one this is saying. Malchus d'oraisa or malchus d'rabbanan. I can imagine this is a machlokas, but either way. Rabbi Crispa b'shem Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina im hayu machrozos mutaros. Rabbi Crispa was, I guess, involved in the meat business, and he then says again that if you found meat that was in entire limbs, but then it was strung together like beads. I'm not familiar with this. The closest I get to this type of thing is like sausages that are in one long chain. This doesn't sound like that. Doesn't sound like we're talking about sausages here. I don't know if they had the machinery for sausages back then. But either way, if they're strung together, which is a way that you usually would, I guess, package meat, so then you can assume that they're mutter also, even if they're limbs. That'd be sort of an unseemly sight. Huge limbs strung together. But either way. Tesha chanuyos mochros basar nevela v'achas mocheres basar shchuta nischalfulo choshesh. So if you've got, this is a famous Gemara. If you have 9 stores that sell nevela, and one of them sells slaughtered meat, so, and then you don't know which one, you went to one of the stores and you bought it, and then you forgot which store you were at. So then the question is, how do you look at that? So you have to be choshesh. You have to worry that maybe it was in maybe it's one of the nevela stores, right? Because you don't remember. That's considered like a 50-50. Right, it's a strange thing, but when you are sort of in a very tangible spot, and then you walk out of that spot, you don't know where you were, so it's not considered 90-10 odds. It's considered 50-50 odds. However, v'la nimtzeis, if you found the meat, let's say you found it outside on the counter, and you have 10 stores, you have no idea. It wasn't ever in, from your perspective, it wasn't ever in a specific store. So then you can be holchen acharov to assume it's not kosher. Now you're going to say, wait a second, that means that in both situations, not like either, what's the difference? The next situation is the difference. Teisha chanuyos mochros baster shchuta. There are 9 places that have shechted meat. V'achos mocheres baster nevela, and one of them sells carcasses, right, nevela meat. Nischalfu lo choshesh. So then you have to be machmer. V'la nimseis holchen acharov, but if you found it outside of the stores, as opposed to buying it in one of them and not remembering which one you bought it from, so then you're allowed to eat it based on the 90-10. You don't have to consider it like a 50-50 question. And there are tons of commentaries about this, and it's relevant halakhically for different situations, but not for now. And we're going to talk about it a little bit in terms of more situations that might be more relevant. Amar Biochanan Nimsa Biad Gai Knimsa Biplatia. If someone found meat in the hand of a non-Jew, it's as if he found it in a large public square. Meaning it's not like he had it in a store, right? It's not a 50-50, it's a majority question. Rabbi Lazar Bey Rabbi Chagai have a masmach Rabbi Mana. Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Chagai, was helping him. Masmach is like to helping him lean on him. Like he was his crutches. Chama lechad armai mekatea min susya mafik libra. He saw a certain Roman, non-Jew obviously, taking off a piece of flesh from his horse and taking it out to sell. So, Amar le, Reb Chagai, Reb Elazar said to Rabbi Mana, right, who he was helping to walk. Where's Reb Elazar? Oh, Reb Elazar is the son of Rabbi Chagai. So he says to Rabbi Mana, is this the type of thing we can assume is kosher meat? Because, you know, look, the non-Jew is bringing us meat from a general store, and the other places of the store are kosher. So the Gemara says, no, Amar le, Kain Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi. This is what Rabbi Yossi said. My Rabbi, Vehein Shero So Yotsim Makulin Shel Yisrael. The only time that we can assume that that piece of meat from the non-Jew is okay is when we saw it coming from a Jewish butcher shop. I don't understand what the chiddush would be then, but either way, that's what he says. It's a much more narrow leniency to allow such a thing. So Gemara says, Chad Bar Nash Betziporin Azil Bayi Mizban Kupid Min Tabcha V'lo Yaivle. There was once a certain man in Tzipori that was walking and he wanted to buy a piece of meat from the butcher, but he wouldn't give it to him because they apparently didn't like each other. Okay, at least one of them didn't like each other. One of them wanted to give him business, but the guy didn't want his business. So Amar Le, Chad Rome, he went to a Roman and said, V'aisi Le, and the Roman brought him the meat. I guess the Roman bought it and brought it. Amar Le, Lo Nasbis Al Karche. Did you not in the end of the day take the meat against your will? They were asking the butcher, right? The person got it, right? Aren't you worried about that? So Gemara says, "Amar Lev, Lav Basrin the Nevelia of Slay." Didn't I give him non kosher meat? Because it went through the non-Jew, Rabbi Yirmi b'Shem Rabbi Chanina, Masavel of Nerevi v'Amar Lo Kula Minei Meisar Mikul Nitziporin. So he says that this once came to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and he said, like, this is not within our power to prohibit all the butcher shops of Tziporin, since the majority of meat shops in that city belong to the Jews. The butcher's claim that he gave the Roman non-kosher meat is not to be believed. Meaning, I think that he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. It doesn't have to be explicit. Well, I guess, or we saw him coming from the Jewish butcher shop, right? Which is in line with what Rabbi Yossi had said.
The butcher admitted that he'd sold it to him. In this case, the butcher admitted he'd sold it to him.
Right, so he thought just because he sent it with a non-Jew, he'd be covered. But the truth is, as we saw Rabbi Yossi said, that we can assume, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it was done through the Jewish shop, and therefore it's okay. Halachically, nowadays, it gets a little more complicated. As you can imagine, there are a lot of logistics in making sure that we don't lose sight of where meat comes from, especially given the industrialized world we live in. So a lot more stringencies about this. And there is a concept in the Bavli, I don't know why it doesn't bring it up here, called Basar Shenis Ali Min Ha'ayin, that if you don't know where meat ended up, so then you're not allowed to use it. I'm sure Daniel Cohen could explain it to us better. But you're not allowed to have non-Jews deal with your meat without any Jews around to make sure that they don't switch it with some other kind of meat. It's real halacha, and you have to be very careful about it, because oftentimes you'll hire caterers or hire non-Jews as workers, and they'll be the ones transferring and shipping the meat from one place to another. Also very important to make sure that kashrus agencies mark the meat properly, and they pack it properly with the proper tape and proper seals, so that we know that it wasn't tampered with. One time I was walking in Washington Heights, and I saw a very non-Jew in a very non-Jewish neighborhood wrapping a box with OU kosher tape. And I said, that is not a good sign. because who knows what that could end up on and what mistakes can come from it. Either way, we'll pick up with this Mirat Hashem tomorrow at 6:55, 36 hours from right now, 6:55 in the Beis Medrash. So start your clocks.